Well, good morning, everyone. Everyone hear me? Good. It is on. I never know if this is actually going to work, and I think it will. So, usually I use this mic because then I don't run around a lot, but so if all of a sudden I'm out there, that's why they told me to use this one. My name's Mike. I drive in from Altona every day, but I work at Boundary Trails, and I'm the chaplain at the hospital there, or the spiritual care coordinator is the official term. And basically what I get to do is I get to visit people who are at some of their crossroads in life. People come to the hospital for a number of different reasons. They come because they're going to have a baby, and that's a very exciting time, and I almost never get to see them because they're so busy then. And so I try and catch the dads as they're on their way out of the hospital in the hallways and stuff, carrying the empty baskets and going to pick up their kids and bless them with that. People also come to the hospital because they're going to have a surgery. They're at a crossroads, and hopefully life will become much more better for them. And so I get to pray with them and walk through things with them. And then people come to the hospital to die, and that's probably the most rewarding part of what I do at the hospital, is I get to meet and walk with people who are at that moment of crossing over from here to heaven, and what that means for them. And it's definitely brought out some very amazing moments in my life, and some times of really asking God, what exactly are you going to do here, God? What are you going to make happen? And it's amazing what he does. Real quick, how many of you work at Boundary Trails? I won't make you stand, but I want you to put up your hands. I see Dave, I see a whole bunch of people here. And I see you, and I won't make you stand. What I want to tell you, though, is that these are the heroes, the real people who make that hospital work and who work hard to help people when they're at their hardest. And I would ask that you would pray for them, specifically that God would bless them with joy in the work that they do. They do some incredible things. There are some smells that I just cannot get over yet. And these people walk into it day after day and take care of it. And they do it with a smile on their face. And I'm off running to the bathroom because some days are just rough. And I want you to know that they work hard. And so let's remember to pray for them. It's a real treat to work alongside people that are working in the hospital there. So, well, I'm glad you all made it. I wasn't sure if I should cry or laugh this morning when I woke up and all my plants were covered in white stuff. And I wished for better, but this is the day the Lord has made, and we're going to try not to begrudgingly be glad that he did it. But the good side was that my new-to-me truck has a four-wheel drive, and it allowed me the opportunity to try it out. So that was a lot of fun. But now I want it to warm up, and hopefully it will real soon. This morning I made some decisions, and you probably did too, before you got here. I made a decision to turn off my alarm this morning when it went off. I had to get out of bed and actually physically turn it off. I had to decide whether I was going to have coffee or juice this morning. I went for coffee, McDonald's, cranberry muffin. Fantastic. Some of you had to decide whether you're going to put the chicken in the oven or you're going to go out to DJ's for lunch after this is all done here, right? I had to decide whether I was going to brush my teeth or my hair. I went for both. There are some decisions I made a long, long time ago. I made a decision a long time ago that I would go to church on Sunday mornings. I thought that if I was going to wait till Sunday morning to make a decision whether or not I wanted to go to church, guess what? I wasn't going to go to church. Because Sunday morning rolls around and you think, oh, it was a long day at work or a long week at work, and I put in my time and it would be great just to relax a bit. And so a long time ago, I made a decision that Sunday mornings we're going to go to church, and I try and stick to that, and it doesn't always work, but for the most part, it's been really good. Otherwise, I just wouldn't make that decision. I'd know what I would do. I made a decision a long time ago, almost 15 years ago, that I was going to love my wife. Well, come on, it's love. It just happens, right? No, sometimes, I'd trade her for a Diet Coke. So I made a decision that I would love her. And I do love her. I love her very much. And some days we enjoy a Diet Coke together. We all make decisions no matter what age, no matter what time. We all make decisions, and we all make them based on beliefs that we have. Interesting story. My mother-in-law, when I first married my wife, Tanya, there would be a storm that would come along, and the instinct for me was big storm, lots of lightning, possible tornado. I'd be outside with a shovel, like, we're going to enjoy this, you know, this is going to be fun. My mother-in-law, on the other hand, would run downstairs and wait till the storm passed. And I married my wife, and I thought this was kind of odd. And my wife, she would always go into the basement during a thunderstorm. And so I started to ask questions about what was going on with this. And what just seemed kind of strange to me. And it turns out that my mother-in-law's grandmother used to sit her kids down. Do you follow that? So it would be my mother-in-law's mom would get sat down by her mom. Do you follow that? And they would get sit down on the stairs, and they would be explained to them that God was angry because they were disobeying. And so they would go downstairs to hide till the storm was over. And 3 generations later, that belief was still there, even though she didn't know where it came from. And without knowing why, they were still going into the basement. Even my wife did that. She'd run downstairs and I'd run outside. And boy, the first while in our marriage, it was kind of rough. Why are you running away from me in a storm? And not, I'm running to the storm. Proverbs 3 is an amazing, well-spoken teaching for us about wisdom. And it talks about trusting God, about being wise, about honoring the Lord, about having a reputation, and about finding wisdom. Verses 5 and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. In other words, when you're making decisions in all your ways, acknowledge God. In all of them, acknowledge God. And make them in light of what God is teaching you so that he will make your paths straight. You see, we all have beliefs that are inspiring our decisions. Every last one of us makes decisions on a daily basis based on what we believe. Sometimes we don't like to think about that, but it's true. Well, I'd like to offer 3 essential beliefs this morning that will practically help you as a person and as a church make meaningful decisions. I don't know how many of you are NASCAR fans. I'm hoping there's a race. I think there's a race on today, but you know, these beliefs should line up in your top 5 finish, okay? First of all is this. Honor God in everything, and he will honor you. Honor God in everything, and he will honor you. I believe that if I do my best to honor God in everything I do, he will honor my leadership, he will honor the ministry he's entrusted to my care, and he will honor my life. And I can't and won't take that lightly. This is a principle taught in Scripture. It's written as a commandment. And if I believe the things that are written in this book that we call the Bible, I certainly must believe this principle that's taught in the Bible. Spiritually, this is true. In Matthew chapter 16, there's that famous line that Jesus spoke saying, if you try to keep your life for yourself, you will lose it. It's a promise. You will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find true life. True life. I believe that if you're willing to give your life to Christ, he will give you a new life, a true life filled with hope and with grace. But for me, that's not enough. I know that if I give God my life, he'll turn around and give me a new one and I'll go to heaven, but I want to honor God. I want to honor him here on earth, not just afterwards when I die. And not just spiritually, but with my whole life. And I believe that he honors that too. In James chapter 4, verse 10, it says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Another way that another translation puts it, it says, when you bow down before the Lord and admit your dependence on him, he will lift you up and give you honor. This passage is not talking about after we die and the spiritual tomorrow. It's talking about today and the things that happen right here, right now. The things that are going on in your life at this moment. I learned a long time ago that if I'm going to honor God, I need his help. I need him to intervene on my behalf and help me do the things he wants me to do. And I want to honor him. The greatest way for him to honor me is for him to help me honor him. Did you catch that? The greatest way for him to honor me is for him to help me honor him, to lift him up higher, to make him the number one. That is the greatest way that he could honor me. I'm not looking for a red carpet or a limo ride for cake. Well, okay, everybody wants a little bit of cake. Or a new car or fame. I simply want God to be honored, to be raised and lifted up. And if I honor God in everything I do, he will honor me by raising himself up. The most important thing is that God is honored. In our human circles, we get all caught up in who gets their way and who gets what accolades and who gets what recognition. And it's not about getting our way, though. It's about doing it God's way with God's help. James chapter 4, verse 6, it says, God sets himself against the proud, but he shows favor to the humble. Right here on earth, right now, he shows favor to those who are humble. In Psalms 37, verses 4 to 6, David writes, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him, and he will help you. He will make your innocence as clear as the dawn, and the justice of your cause will shine like the noonday sun. It will shine that bright. If you are thinking right now that this isn't true because it doesn't work for you, let me ask you this. What's your motive? What's your motive? He knows if you truly want to lift him up. He's not dumb. He knows your heart. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Honor God in everything, and he will honor you. Second belief is this, people matter. Making decisions on this belief can be so complicated, but the truth is that all people matter. Every last one of them. Every person you come across, there is not a person that you come across that does not matter to God. And so, if he matters to God, they matter to us. It's that simple. I love to drive. I don't know how many of you love to drive. There's nothing better than getting in the car and going down some interstates for miles and miles and getting to see all kinds of things. When I turned 16, I had already driven. I started driving when I was 6. I drove in a field of this farmer that used to always take me in, and he said one day, hey, you want to drive? And I said, sure. And I remember it clear as day. It was 1986 Chevy half-ton 4x4, and I think it was almost pretty new. And so we're going through the field, and I was learning, you know, what it meant to step on this thing and what it meant to step on this thing. And this was the accelerator, and this was the brake. And so he says, you can step on that one. And so I did, right to the floor, right? And away we went. And then I can still hear him, maybe you should step on the other. And I did. I stepped on the other one as hard as I could. And then he says, now just drive slowly. So I started driving. He goes, hey, this is working good. And you know those drainage ditches? Well, there's a particularly deep one. I can still remember the dirt whoosh coming over top because we hit it so hard. But I love to drive. And that kind of started my whole thing. I drove motorcycles and dirt bikes and illegals and legals and all kinds of good stuff. And when I was 16, my dad had this 1981 Ford half ton. Super cab. Nice, light blue. I'd never really liked the color, but the truck was nice. 351, I think, or something like that. M. And it was a standard. And I learned the art of, I don't know how many of you know this word, but I learned the art of schvexing. Does anybody know what schvexing is? So you know when it snows and the church parking lot's empty and people come in and they do all kinds of fun things in the parking lot? I got to tell you, I am good at that. I mean, it used to be so good. This truck was like a bus. It was so long because it was the full super cab plus the full-length box. And, you know, it felt like you should have its own air horn and stuff like that. It was just a blast to drive. and I could come around a corner, and you could put a snowball on a snowbank right at the edge, and I could come along, and I'd be schvexing, and the bumper, I could get it to hit that snowball off without touching any other snow. It's so good. I'm still that good. I proved it last night. That was a lot of fun. But there's one thing that I would never compromise while driving, and that's this, that people matter. I'll never do something that'll put someone else's life in jeopardy. I'll have lots of fun. I'm sure I will today. Got to make use of this snow. But I'll never put someone's life in jeopardy. Why? Because people matter. People matter. Every person matters. Every time I go into a hospital room, I stop just before I go in and I think to myself, Lord, this person matters to you no matter what their story is, no matter how bad it is. They may be an addict, they may have done something really bad, but they matter. They matter. And as such, I will treat them with dignity and respect because they matter to you. People matter. Imagine if we made decisions believing that all people matter. Imagine if the church made decisions like that. I mean, in Jesus' words, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And the second is equally important. There's no difference between these two. I want you to get this. It's equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. That's a pretty definitive statement. Imagine if decisions were made all around the world believing that all people matter. Places like Egypt, Libya, Sudan, Syria, or Canada. Imagine if every decision made in this church or in the Church of North America were made believing that all people matter. Folks, do you know what that would look like? It would look like your friend and neighbor coming to church, to a place where the service had been thought out so that people coming would be challenged to live higher and farther than they did before they came. It would look like our buddy who was struggling with baptism finally giving in to the Spirit's promptings and declaring before a church family that he is living his life unperfected as it is for the God who saved him, our Lord Jesus Christ. It would look like decisions about ministry would happen because a clear call rather than a bottom line in our own financial capability. It would look like scads of people coming together to pray because eternity is at stake. It would look like that person you have been praying for finally acknowledging God and giving her life up to receive a true life. A true life. People matter more than anything to God. And he says, just as good as loving him is loving the people around us. And that gives me shivers. It really does. Even when tough love happens, those decisions are made out of love and compassion because people matter. I have been in relationships where people have said, we are doing this because we love you, and I know it's true, but it's not easy. Because people matter. The third belief that I would like to offer up today is this: the local church is the hope of the world. The local church is the hope of the world. Now, I don't want to throw you for a loop, and I want you to know that I haven't fallen off my rocker or schvexed too much today. Jesus Christ is the hope of the world. It is Jesus who died on a cross some 2,000 years ago. It is Jesus alone who stayed in a sealed tomb for 3 days. And on the third day, it is Jesus alone who rose from the dead, defeated death, and forgave our sins. He sits at the right hand of God and loves every one of us. But before he did that sit-down thing at the right hand of God, what did he do? He commissioned the church to spread the good news. It says in Matthew 28, verses 19 to 20, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." The church, which was formed after this on the day of Pentecost, understood what Jesus meant. The local church is the hope of the world. This place right here is the hope of the world. Never sell yourself short on that truth. This church is the hope of the world. And so is the church down the way. God gave all of us this beautiful thing to spread called the good news. In this little one chapter book called Jude, in verse 3, Jude writes, "Dearly loved friends, I've been eagerly planning to write to you about the salvation we all share. But now I find that I must write about something else, urging you to defend the truth of the good news. God gave this unchanging truth once for all time to His holy people." God gave us, the church, the message of the hope of the world, the good news. We have the message. We've been given the responsibility to share the message. The local church has been given the message to share with the local people around them. It's not Billy Graham's responsibility to share the good news and get all the people to come to our doors so we can help them. It's our responsibility to share that good news. Now, Billy helps us do that. Every decision that is made should be made contemplating on how will this help share the good news. Because after all, the local church is the hope of the world. Honor God in everything, and He will honor you. People matter. The local church is the hope of the world. The world needs people who believe this with all their heart. Leaders in the church who can lead knowing that God is in charge of His church. Let me ask you this. How are decisions made in this church? What beliefs empower the decisions made in this church? Sometimes we make decisions based on beliefs we didn't even know we had. Beliefs that stray from a solid biblical foundation. Kind of like my mother-in-law running away from a storm and having no idea how that happened. What do you need to change in your heart to allow this to shape you? Or how about the decision of placing your life in Christ? Some of you may not have done that yet. You're in the right place, let me tell you. God is speaking to you right now. He's calling on you. That thing in your heart that feels uncomfortable, that's Him saying, "Why don't you come? Let me give you a true life." Will you do that? Make a decision on the belief that God will rescue you and forgive your sins. Well, listen, in order to make decisions based on beliefs that are biblical, we need to start by declaring our dependency on Him, on God, on solely on God. And He will lift us up when we put our heart on Him. Don't let pride get in the way of this very important moment. Will you pray with me, please? Father in heaven, thank you for this reminder of how important it is. Sometimes we get so caught up, Lord, in just getting through the day and making it that we forget that it's important to make decisions based on what we really believe and not what's just easiest for us. And so, Father, this morning I pray that you would burn into our hearts exactly what you want us to take from here. Father, you've promised that your word will not go forth without accomplishing what you've set it out to do. And so speak to our hearts through what we've read and heard today. And Father, I pray that as we go from here, that the decisions we make would be based on what we know to be true about you. Lord, what we believe about you. So we pray that you would guide us with that. Thank you for this morning, Father, for being able to come to a church like this to be able to worship you. And now as we go from here, Father, and we go into the world, we pray that we'd carry that with us, Lord. We pray that you'd keep that close to our hearts. In your name we pray. Amen.